This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
If every talk radio program were the same, what would be the point? The Michael Berry Show is a little bit different. We're going to talk about politics, but we'll also talk about how great it is to live in Texas. Weekdays 5 to 7 on Talk 1370. It's the Michael Berry Show.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. Thank you for the sound
That's
effect.
Me going up. Oh, Rouge.
Flat out?
Flat out.
Flat out like the...
Only one way to go.
Like the Formula One season is from this point on, flat out coming to Austin, Texas?
Yeah, pretty much. And I'll tell you what, we're going to have a doozy, as you say here, because I think this championship is opening wide open now.
Well, we're going to talk about your predictions at the beginning of this season. They're holding pretty good, buddy. I can't wait to talk about that because you were almost right. This is John Massengill. That's Jonathan Green. And Les Kaiser's got the night off, hanging with the family tonight. And I want to talk about anybody out there in Texas that's having trouble with the floods. We really are thinking about you, and Austin has been hit pretty hard too, but not like Houston. It's crazy out there.
Yeah, we're getting it pretty bad here, but heart goes out to those struggling with this storm at the moment, and it is affecting a lot of people. So anybody listening in the Houston area, we wish you well, and stay in those kayaks, because I know there's a lot of people floating around downtown.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Well, let's talk about some Formula One and some MotoGP and more, because we're going to talk both of those. We also have Michael Cooper, who's coming on the show here in about a half hour live to talk about the Pirelli World Challenge this coming weekend in Austin, Texas, at Circuit of the Americas. That's going to be an awesome event.
We're racing again in Elroy.
And he's going to talk about coming to Austin and what's going on with him. He's a factory Cadillac driver, so it's going to be awesome to talk to him. And we've got a bunch of clips from the Formula One team, some clips from the MotoGP guys, and we also have a Brendan Leach, an interview that you did with him, Jonathan. So he's been a friend of the show, and we got some interview with him. Let's go ahead and jump in. Let's talk about Formula One, because it was fantastic to get Formula One back after the break. That break is still hard for me to get used to.
Yeah, I love the fact that they call it a break. There's plenty of other stuff going on. I don't stop. There's no summer break. Well, there's plenty of racing going on. No, I know what you mean. It's a long earned. I tell you what, the Formula One guys, and having been on the full season before now, it really is a break, and you need it by August, I can assure you.
Yeah, well, the race today was in Spa. It was fantastic, because obviously Spa, that track... I mean, Eau Rouge by itself, that is just such an iconic, amazing thing to watch. Every year, you just look at them going, how can these guys do this just foot to the floor and blast through that corner. It's just incredible.
It is. It's 180 miles an hour. It's flat out. The G's from left to right, both lateral, plus the going up the hill, 17-degree rise from bottom to top. It is, to be honest, it's still my favorite track. Or as Mark Webber once said, you feel like you're going somewhere at Spa.
Well, and this year, of course, with the G-forces on the cars even higher, Spa, that's just a stratospheric accomplishment to go through there like that.
Yeah, and it's also a special place if you're Belgian or Dutch, actually. It's surprising. You don't think about it as being a Dutch favorite, but it's the nearest track to Holland in terms of Formula One. So droves of Verstappen fans were there, as they would be, as they were for his father. I never forget actually coming out of the Spa circuit with Jos Verstappen, and I did an interview while he drove, or tried to drive, out of the track, but he was swarmed by fans. Such is the popularity of Dutch drivers, in the great Spa circuit.
Well, obviously Lewis Hamilton came out on top today, and Sebastian Vettel right behind him, but let's go ahead and talk about Max Verstappen, because it was early in the race. It's early in the show. Like, Verstappen seems to quit, or end up not quitting, but end up out of the race early in the race, every time, six out of the first 12 races.
And it's starting to be a problem, because we all, and there's nobody under any illusion, I don't think, how good this kid is. Ricciardo is damn good, right? And he is basically showing him a clean set of heels when the car's reliable and when he doesn't have problems. As you know, Jos, his father, I just mentioned, who effectively his mentor, his manager, whatever, but has been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And he is pushing for Jos to be in the best possible seat. He also is very much aware that if you have a career, and we can bring up Mr. Fernando Alonso at this point, but if you have a career in Formula One, you've got to be in the best car you possibly can be in, and that's how you win titles. And that's why Vettel, has won as many as he has. Hamilton's decision to go to Mercedes at the right time was the perfect decision. And I think that there's pressure now on Red Bull to find a reliability issue for Max, or could he be going somewhere else?
Oh, I mean, that's the obvious thing. But it is pretty amazing, because Ricciardo has not had a lot of reliability problems. And
no.
Max, it's like all of the team's reliability problems have been on one side, in one side of the garage.
Yes, and I think that is unfortunate. And I think it's a hard argument for anybody involved with Max Verstappen to say that he should be in another team, or that he should be vying for Bottas' seat, which is the obvious place because everybody wants that seat. And I don't think that, I don't know how much and how far Max will get with trying to get into a more competitive team.
And that seat with Bottas, it's not secured yet.
That's the other story for me. Yeah. It's funny, actually. Max, it summed up my feelings about it, which is I really like the guy, and I do because I've known him for a while, and he's a bit like Robert Kubica. He got that break when everybody knew he had the talent, but he didn't have the big backing and the big money to go all the way. But he was noticed at Formula 3, and he was vaunted into Formula 1. And Williams is a great place for someone like him, but now he's got the break. And he knows how finite this opportunity is and how much everybody's queuing up for that drive alongside Hamilton, which is a poison chalice, because there's no question that Hamilton's one of the greatest drivers in the world. But with that drive goes the greatest car and the most reliable car at the moment in Formula One. So that's the car you want.
And, everybody talks, NBC was talking about that same thing today. Talking about that his Max Verstappen's talent, it's just obviously that everybody thinks he's one of the best and could potentially be one of the best ever. And they talk about every race missed opportunity could affect his long-term, because he's so young. He could have so many races behind, under his belt, so many wins, and that was what they're talking about. But let's hear from Max Verstappen. Let's hear this, play this clip with him.
I just can't believe that it keeps happening, and the sixth time this year is a 50% retirement. It's unbelievable. Like I said on the radio, I just can't believe that those things happen. And of course, in the beginning, you say, maybe it's bad luck and whatever. I'm actually competing against Fernando in terms of retirements. It's unbelievable. Not happy at all.
Yeah, interesting. There's a bit of a dig there. Look, here's the truth. He's a kid. He's a really talented kid, but he is a kid.
He's still a kid, right?
And at the end of the day, he'll get his day, and I think he's already done enough to prove that he, if you're looking at the market of Formula One drivers and kids, and I'm including Ocon and a few others up and coming, Magnussen and so on, I think he's shone way higher than his peers, plus those slightly older than him. And I think, you know, when it, if it becomes, a problem, in other words, I know he wants the key to the door right now. The
he
golden
wants it now
key.
Because he's a kid.
Yeah. But also, you're right in what you say, which is, could he, you know, could the record books be changing? But it's when you go. The rules change. People have different, we don't know what's going to happen at Red Bull. We really don't. And I really don't think that Red Bull are ready to give up the ghost. I actually think they have been rejuvenated by a Renault engine and a Renault team, factory team, that are on the up and up. And I think that's an important factor. Another good result for the Renault factory team today. And clearly, Renault were hit hard by Red Bull last year, for not performing. And I think in the last few years. And I think, I think they have turned things around. So it's interesting.
All right. Well, I want to switch to, we're going to get to the winner of the race and the top tier, but I'm going to talk about Fernando Alonso because it's just astounding what he's going through this season. And obviously we've talked this to death, whether what he's going to do at the end of the season. But I want to start by playing the clip from Fernando Alonso because I want to get your take on what he said and what he means by what he's saying. So let's hear from Fernando Alonso.
It was a difficult race. Obviously, we had an issue now with the engine, which we had to retire, but we were a little bit less competitive than in qualifying now in the race stream. So I think we need to try to improve for next weekend.
You're a two-time world champion. You're out on track and you're getting passed like you're in a Formula 2 car. How much longer can you put up with this?
7 or 8 more races, no?
Yeah. I tell you what, it's an interesting relationship between both Buxton and Fernando. I don't know whether Will has a good friendship with him, and he has a good friendship with most of them. He's a good guy. But he's been asking that question of Fernando all season long, yep, as I have on this show. I don't get that. Mm-hmm. And I asked him when I saw Fernando at the 500, or at least I gleaned enough in my questions in his press conferences how much he was enjoying being at the Indy 500. And I think what Buxton's going down the same run, which is, how long can you put up with this? You're better than this. And everybody knows it, but, he's being a little bit, coy, if that's the right word. What was your question?
Well, I was just right before the break, the break hit, looked like that Honda McLaren had some momentum. The Honda engine was doing good.
They got the fastest lap.
Yeah, they had the fastest lap. It looked like they had some momentum. And I thought, if they do well for the rest of the season, he might stay. But, I mean, this was a disaster today. And really, my question was really, what do we think is going to happen? But I know that's so speculative. Anything can happen.
Here's the thing. Let's take it in two chunks. One, McLaren. Two, Fernando. Let's take McLaren. Their struggle is twofold. One, they either find a new engine supplier, and that is a pretty tough ask because their choices are limited to pretty much Ferrari.
Well, can they find
well,
one?
Well, that's
contractual.
That's really where
else
I'm going. Yeah. For Renault really is probably their only potential option.
Other option, right.
And I'm not so sure the other Renault teams, including the factory team, would want McLaren to come back with state-of-the-art latest McLaren, because McLaren won't have anything else. There's no point. They may as well go round in circles, back again, because they're going, if they're going to get a customer engine, then they're going to get a second class to all the other Renault engines. So Renault's not an option. Ferrari's not an option because that's their biggest, it just doesn't make any sense. Mercedes, likewise, have got customers out there. And again, it's it really is quite interesting. Anyway, that's McLaren's problem. The other thing for McLaren, though, and that's option two, is that they've been working with a guy I know and Americans will know well, which is Mario Illion from Ilmor. He and, in fact...
Famous engine manufacturer, IndyCar and everything else.
Yeah. And more importantly, ironically, the guy responsible for McLaren Mercedes's dominance back in the day. Mm-hmm. They basically prepared the Mercedes engines that were in the McLaren at Ilmor in England. And they are saying that there's been a lot of work between the two factories, effectively between Honda and Ilmor again. And that could be the key that keeps Fernando in place. Now, turn to Fernando for a second. What are his options? Not many. Again.
Yeah.
Could he get a place at Renault, a place that he started at, effectively, and replace Julian Palmer? Possibly, but is
that
good enough?
Would he take that? Right.
Would he take that? Other than that, there's not a lot of places he could go. Could he replace Bottas at Mercedes? Yeah, but would Hamilton, with four world titles probably by the end of leaving Austin, want that? No, and we remember last time they came together, it didn't work out too well. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's going to happen either. Would he go to Indy? I'd like to see it, and I'd like to see it for him because I think it's good for the sport. He is the best driver, or at least one of the top three drivers in Formula One. I think he's the best because he's the most versatile. And in fact, what he's done in that McLaren, you know, it has been incredible. I mean, you know, just the story of qualifying where he's flat out and the car didn't even know he was how good he was.
That's right. The car said he can't be that good.
You can't be that quick.
You can't be flat out through that corner. There's no way.
But I am.
That's pretty awesome. Well, guys, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Haas team because they've had a fantastic start to after the break. And we're going to talk about Lewis Hamilton and Sebastian Vettel and Daniel Ricciardo and the rest. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
On air, online, and on your smart device. Talk 1370 is the right choice.
Hi, this is Mario Andretti, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back. Never get tired of that.
Yeah, you can't get tired of Mario Andretti bringing us back. So we were talking about Formula One when we left, and I'm going to continue. I want to talk about Lewis Hamilton because, obviously, he won the race, and that battle between he and Vettel was awesome right there at the end because, in fact, let's play the clip from Lewis Hamilton because he talks about the strategy that he had coming out of the safety car with Vettel right on his tail. Let's hear from Lewis Hamilton.
It really took a lot in that last section to keep the Ferrari behind. They had the better tire, it warms up faster, so it was very, very close in the initial phase. So I had to play some small tactics when he got close into out of turn one, like down the hill. I have to let off the gas a little bit just to keep him, because he doesn't want to overtake me before Eau Rouge, because he knows I'll pass him again. But also, the goal is to be, you know, a couple of car lengths behind, so you can tow and gain that rhythm. And I stopped him from having that. So when we got to the top of the hill, he pulled out, and we were alongside each other like this. So fortunately that worked. So it was a bit about tactics today, but the Ferrari were faster.
Interesting.
Yeah. Ferrari were faster.
Yeah, and also I think that's, again, you just heard in that little clip, why Spa is so special to both the drivers and the fans, because tactically it's one of those racetracks. There are certain places that you don't want to, like he says, you don't want to overtake going into Eau Rouge or just before, because you're going to get...
You get past.
There's a long, long way to that next overtake, and that's, you know, you're basically signing your own overtake warrant at that point. So, yeah, it's an interesting track in that respect, but what I'm liking about this is, like you say, it's the second half of the season, but it's really not. It's there's only eight races
to
go.
That's true.
All of which, including Austin, are very hard to predict, because Monza, all right, it's an out-and-out fast-paced circuit, but I can guarantee you Ferrari will be strong there, but Mercedes, you know, and will pull out all the stops to win there. And so therefore this championship is getting tighter and tighter, and the competition also, because Bottas, as we said, the pressure, Verstappen, he's had some bad luck, but he's capable of winning, so is Ricciardo. We have five or six guys who are capable of winning. If you think about the battles between, if you think about the battles that have come to Austin, it's the best way I can describe it, because Austin is right at the end of the season, and it really is, you know, kind of heading to Abu Dhabi, Brazil and Austin, Mexico. These are the races that the championship's not necessarily decided, but it could be decided at one race and one breakdown, one overtake, one, you know, and it has been at Austin before now. But you think about that, it's always been a fight of two drivers at that time. And it will be again between Vettel and Hamilton. But I say, come to Austin, any one of those five, six drivers, and I'm thinking Verstappen, Ricciardo, Bottas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Could all win in Austin because of the form.
Yep, because the way the circuit lays out.
Yeah, and I think Haas could be right in the middle of all that.
That would be amazing. And in fact, you know, that's a nice transition. Let's talk about Haas F1 with a seventh place finish from Grosjean. Points coming out of the break. They got to love that. So they've scored points in half of the races this year. And they've had some consistency. Because remember last year, they came out of the gate like gangbusters. And then we had kind of a drought in the middle of the season. But this year, they've been pretty consistent. And Magnussen could have been in the points again this race.
One mistake. That was all it was, and it knocked him back. And but the point is, Grosjean scored a really, really good result. And look at the points, because I said it at the end of last season, because you said, have you got any outrageous predictions? And I said, yeah, has to be in the top five. And they're 10 points away from fifth place Williams at the moment, with Toro Rosso in between. They're 5 points away from Toro Rosso. And, you know, that it makes life very interesting. And I think more importantly for Haas, because you've got to think that even though we're rah-rah about an American team, Gene Haas is no fool. He's a businessman. He went into Formula One. He'd always wanted to. But he is running a massive racing enterprise right now. And there's a lot of money going out of the door and, you know, being sucked into Formula One from out of his business, right? And, you know, there comes a time where you say, am I in this to win this? Am I in this business of Formula One? Can I be competitive? And I think every point they get, every place they get up the board, is proving both to investors, to potential, to workforce, everybody, that they are in the right place. And I think they've already proven that in my mind, but I think sometimes it's wishful thinking because I want an American team. But I also think that they are now a mid player already in the second year of Formula One, which is outstanding and unprecedented.
Yeah, like you said, 10 points out from fifth place, that they're absolutely a player. And, you know, I like the strategy, whether it is, you know, whether it's a bit of luck, but it's probably a very intentional strategy, because the one thing I was going to say is that they've been very reliable.
Yeah.
The Haas cars, for the most part, I mean,
as long as they don't touch the brakes.
As long as they don't use the brakes. But, you know, for the most part, they haven't had a lot of races where they didn't have cars not finishing.
True.
So they've had some problems with the brakes, but for the most part, they've been pretty reliable. And, you know, there's always what I think of as reliable. Maybe they could take some chances to make the car faster, which affects reliability. You know, there's always that scale, reliability versus speed. And so that strategy that they're staying reliable, because I think they're saying if we can play in that mid-pack in these first handful of seasons, that's a huge win. And I think they'll get people talking about it.
I have to say, what I am really impressed with and how much credit I give to Gene or Stein, I've got his name for a second.
Oh, now you made me forget it. Gunther Steiner.
Gunther Steiner. How much credit I give to either one of those or both men is the fact that there isn't, it seems anyway, there isn't a weakness to their package. And what I mean by that is it's not like, oh, the aerodynamics aren't good. Or, I mean, yes, well, I jokingly mentioned the brake problem. That's not that. That's a supplier, right?
But and it's mostly solved right now.
Yeah, generally speaking, and we saw the documentary when they came out, and it was, boy, it was last minute, let's paint the car because it's got a race tomorrow. So they seem to have got people and talent throughout the ranks, and then they've picked and chosen that talent from defunct teams, from other teams, and it really has come together. It's a band of brothers, and I'm really impressed with the sort of talent pool they've got throughout, and that includes the drivers. I think there's a good balance. I think Grosjean was always the right pick because he's in it, and yes, he gets frustrated, but he's got a lot to prove, and he's in the right place to prove it.
All right. Well, now I want to switch gears and talk about the pink team, the the pink cars.
They're not so pretty in pink team.
Exactly. Because that was, I mean, honestly, I think Matchett again had that one dead on. That was a debacle. That was.
Yeah, I think actually the summation by NBC here in the United States was excellent. I think they summed it up well. I think Buxton interviewed both well. And I think, yeah, you're right, it's a debacle. And I think also Offner's comment, the only American voice of reason within the team, was correct too, which, to roughly paraphrase, said this will not happen again between these two. They will not race because they cannot be trusted.
What does he mean by that exactly? Is it going to put a third driver?
It means, and by the way, I'm going to get to that in a minute.
Okay.
It means one of two things. It means that when they come up against each other on track, we will give them team orders. Or, worse than that, if, you know, they could be stepping down a driver, or they could be putting down some pretty heavy duty rules and regulations. The thing about the problem is you've got Sergio Perez, who has been in three teams now, right? He brings a lot of money from Mexico.
Yeah.
And ironically, the reserve driver is also from Mexico and is third at the moment in his championship on the way up.
Who is that?
Alfonso Celis Jr.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, and he's a good kid. And he too, I'm sure, will be well backed because we know that anybody from Mexico usually brings a bit of pot of gold. And South American drivers, generally speaking, don't get into Formula One without good backing. We've seen it with Maldonado. We're now seeing it with Sergio. We saw it with Esteban Gutierrez. And I think, you know, this is why Perez is under pressure. I think there's something like 10 points between the two in the Drivers' Championship. But Ocon is the kid, and Ocon is 20, and also Celis Jr. has now started doing Friday drives, and the first Friday drive he did was in Perez's place. Now the next Friday drive he did was in Ocon's place. Now Ocon's a kid too, so it's a really interesting situation. But I'll tell you what, Matchett summed it up perfectly when he said this: it don't matter about the drivers because the workforce cannot get paid. Nobody at Force India, nobody at Silverstone gets paid unless those drivers perform on the track, and the Constructors' Championship is the key. And like we said, Haas is chasing them down. They were fourth. They beat Williams last year. That was their best result in years. They've got Tuan Mal at the top with Vijay Mallya continuing to a certain extent. They need to be stable. It's a small team.
And fundamentally, before anybody can do well, both cars have to finish, which means you can't run into each other, guys.
That's the other thing that's really hurting them and making them pink face is that the car is good.
Yeah,
the car is good. The performance is when they perform and they don't take each other out. It's a bit like the Toro Rosso situation. Actually a really good car. So I think, I think wiser heads should prevail. And Mr. Offmeyer... should sit them down and read them the right act.
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have factory Cadillac race driver Michael Cooper with us. You listen to Speed City. We're here in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Racetrack. It's where legends are born.
where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles, whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin. It is now Revell's Heavy Duty, moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused. But there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Revell'sHeavyDuty.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
This is David Hobbs, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to Speed City.
Mr. Shamojal. Did you hear a story about Spa?
No, I didn't.
It was good. This is good, because we were talking about what you do at the top of Eau Rouge.
Yeah.
Well, David did a sports car, like 1,000 kilometers back in the day, and his teammate, I can't remember who it was, but anyway, his teammate gave him the car and said, oh, it's running a little hot, you know, as they do back in the 60s and 70s. It's running a little hot. And David went, well, thanks very much. And of course, it was running way too hot. He did one lap, and it literally just went bang. And he pulled off, he went up through Eau Rouge, and that's probably the fastest part of the track, and it went bang. And so he pulled over, and back in the day, there was still, like, you know, houses along the way. So he pulled into the driveway, and the guy saw him through the window, opened the door for him, and he made himself a cup of tea and sat and watched the rest of the race on TV, because that's what Hobbs does.
Are you serious? I did not hear that.
Yeah, it's good.
That's pretty awesome. All right, well, we have some racing coming to COTA this week, and we have the Pirelli World Challenge.
Yes.
Coming to Circuit of the Americas.
Proper production racing. I love it.
And absolutely, sports car racing, and one of my favorites, the Cadillac ATS-V, is going to be driven by our next guest, Michael Cooper. Michael, welcome to Speed City.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Well, we appreciate you coming on the show. Are you looking forward to getting down here to Austin?
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to getting down there to Austin. You know, I've heard you guys have had some weather with Harvey.
Yeah, you can say that.
Everyone's doing well. I don't know what the weather situation's like in Austin right now, but you know, hopefully we can get down there and have a smooth weekend and get some of the fans' minds off that.
It's actually a good question, because they're saying, I mean, the hurricane here has been steady but not terribly strong. We've had like a 6 or 8 inches, but nothing like Houston or the other places. And they're saying it could rain all week long and maybe into the weekend, but it's probably going to let up by then.
Harvey has been a wall banger, that's for sure. Michael, what are your thoughts about COTA, and given you're coming here, you know, on the crest of a wave, as it were, but what are your thoughts coming into the COTA weekend?
Well, I mean, first off, I love the circuit. The facility they built there is incredible, and we've gotten to go there a couple times with the B Labs, and we're going down there again later in September for that. So it's always cool to get down there and drive on the track. But as far as racing on the track, it's really cool. You know, it does provide some guys opportunities to explore track limits a little bit, so that's always a topic of conversation. But that was my introductory weekend into the GT class last year, and walked away with 2 podiums. So I'm really looking forward to getting back down there.
Well, the car you're driving is a Cadillac ATS-V, and on the road car version of that is arguably one of the best handling cars on the planet. And it's obviously a good platform to start with. Are you enjoying driving that car?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Both the street car and the race car. I have an ATS-V sedan as my daily driver.
Hey, we were going to ask you that question, but there you go. Finally, somebody with a decent car.
Yeah, Formula One drivers, they drive pickup trucks and minivans, but this is a proper race car driver's car.
Yeah, so, I mean, the race car is pretty much just the road car on steroids, and you know, competing against Ferrari and Audi, Lamborghini, McLaren, Porsche. You know, it's got to be able to run with those guys.
You know, it's interesting you say that. We've been talking quite a lot about Cadillac's rise and how important it is to the mark. I mean, you're 27. I mean, to us, of a generation above you, if not two, you know, the Cadillac was this slow kind of, you wouldn't be seen dead in a Cadillac. It's not a sporty thing. Whereas they've changed the image of Cadillac in the last decade, and you're part of that change. You know, is there a real sense that this is a huge achievement by Cadillac to change that image of being your dad's car?
Yeah, no, absolutely. The whole V-Series line really is. And I think that that's starting to trickle down, and I'm starting to see it in some people. But, you know, really that whole change in the brand is just getting underway. You know, I still stop at gas stations and whatnot, and people say, what is that? Because they don't believe that it's Cadillac. Or you'll tell people that you race for Cadillac, and they say, Cadillac races? What?
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to explain it to them, and then, you know, it's starting to change the perception of people in people's minds and make them realize what a great car it actually is. You know, it's just a really big secret right now, so we're trying to do a good job getting it out there.
Yeah, and I mean, you're absolutely right. The marks you mentioned, Ferrari, Porsche, you know, McLaren, it's, you know, these guys, this is what they do. This is their DNA, whereas Cadillac makes road cars and then they go racing. It's a different philosophy, but it's one that's working and is proving to be very successful in the last few years.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, we saw it with the CTSV, Johnny O'Connell winning three straight championships. And then, you know, the first year with the ATSV, you know, beating Ferrari, Porsche, McLaren, all those guys, and winning another championship. Last year was a little off year for the team. You know, we went into the finale with a chance at winning the championship, but we weren't quite able to accomplish that. But we're well in the thick of the title fight this year, and we're, you know, hoping to take it home in the next month.
Yeah, you know, I was just looking at your career, the 2015 GTS Drivers' Champion, 2012 Touring Car Drivers' Champion, and then you guys, you and Jordan Taylor leading the way this year. That's fantastic. You got a heck of a career going.
Yeah, it's all happened really, really fast. You know, getting the call up to Cadillac Racing after winning the 2015 GTS Drivers' Championship was a dream come true. So, yeah, Jordan and I just got to keep the ball rolling like we have been. We've had some incredible runs in the ATS VR this year. But, you know, also a lot of that's been fueled by the backing of the team and the mechanics. You know, there have been some scenarios where those guys have really had to step up and pull something magical off, and they have, like our strategic win at Canadian Tire Motorsports Park, or our battery replacement during the race at VIR, and ended up with a podium that day.
That's awesome.
Who's the competition then coming into COTA? Like you say, you guys are leading, but where can they? Who can trip you up possibly? And who are you watching behind, as it were, in the mirrors?
Well, this year in World Challenge, it's a little different than just the traditional 50-minute sprint races. Like you guys have mentioned, Jordan Taylor's my teammate, so that's for the Sprint X races. And there's 5 Sprint X weekends for the year where him and I share the car, and then there's 5 Sprint only weekends where it's just me in the car for 50 minutes. So as far as the Sprint X Championship goes, which is the one that concludes at COTA, Jordan and I are leading pretty handily. So as long as we have a clean weekend, we'll get out of there with the Sprint X Championship. But the team and my main focus is really on the overall championship. Mm-hmm. And that fight is with Patrick Long in the Porsche and Alvaro Parent in the McLaren. Those guys are, Patrick's, I think, 3 or 5 points ahead of us, and Alvaro's 3 or 5 behind us. So it's a really close battle, and it's probably going to come down to the last race at Sonoma in September.
Yeah, and those are 2 very handy pedalers you just mentioned there. I would not want to be in a fight with those two because, yeah, it's completely different manufacturers, but 2 great drivers who could drive the wheels off anything.
Yeah, no, absolutely. 2 great drivers, 2 great competitors. You know, they both have a pretty storied past. Alvaro winning the championship last year, and he's, you know, had a brilliant career before that. And, you know, everyone knows who Patrick Long is, but, yep. You know, I think I'm up to the task at fighting with those guys. I'm not intimidated by them in any way. Alvaro and I get on pretty well. Patrick's a pretty intense competitor, but, we can get pretty intense at Cadillac Racing too.
Talking of being intense, Michael, what's your ambition? You're 27. You know, you've, like you say, you've had much success already, but it's all here in the States. Do you have harboring thoughts of international racing, sports cars, a Le Mans, something like that, or racing in Europe generally? Or what are your ambitions at this point?
You know, I've come so far in such a short period of time that my mind is just totally focused on what I'm doing now. I'm not looking at outside stuff at this point in time. You know, I have a really come in a really good situation being with General Motors and Cadillac Racing, and you know, I just like to continue that for a long time, kind of like you see Johnny O'Connell or a lot of the other GM drivers have.
Yeah, that's a heck of a goal, because look what Johnny O'Connell's done.
Yeah,
and it's fun of being a part of what Jonathan was talking about, being watching Cadillac do something, because like you said, the DNA of all these other guys, so that's got to be exciting. I like looking at your career, though. You see so many guys do it the way you did it. You were in the Skip Barber race school system, and then the Mazda MX-5 Cup, and so it's a pretty classic way to come through it, but it's really fun to see somebody that's gone to where you've gone. But I want to ask you about the weekend coming up. Obviously, we've got a three-day weekend here at COTA coming up. We've got Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But let's talk about the weekend in general. Talk about the World Challenge Series kind of globally.
Well, I mean, you know, this year, so the races at COTA will be Sprint X races. So they're two-driver format. You have to make a pit stop somewhere between 25 and 35 minutes into the race. And the guy that starts the first race typically will finish the second race. But Sprint X has brought in an immense amount of talent to World Challenge. Guys like York Bergmeister and Ben Barnicot, Taylor Brothers, obviously, Ricky and Jordan. I'm a twin, so I actually hate when people just say the Cooper Brothers or something like that. Although my brother doesn't race.
Yeah.
So I can imagine those guys might hear that and go, why do you say that? So Ricky and Jordan Taylor.
Yeah.
You know, you had Will Stevens, former F1 driver, out at Utah Motorsports Campus. There's a lot of high-quality drivers that the series has brought in.
No question. And in fact, that's what's actually impressed me with PWC the last few years, because there is a lot of choice in America, and so be it. I mean, I'm really glad that sports car racing is as strong in 2017, because it hasn't been perhaps, I don't know, let's say 2012, 2013, I don't think. But it now seems right now at its height, and also with manufacturer interest. So it's good for drivers, and it's good for race fans that we've got world-class drivers across the board in IMSA, in PWC, and right through Porsche and Ferrari Challenge and everything else.
Yeah, and with PWC, at least since they introduced the GT3 cars, the competition of the GT class has just stepped up exponentially every single year since that. I think it was 2014 or 2015.
Yeah. Well, Michael Cooper, I want to thank you for coming on Speed City, but I want to ask you one last question. We normally ask, what do you drive every day?
We know that.
But since you told us already, I'm going to ask a question related to that. What have you done to that car? I mean, these are turbocharged cars, right? So it kick up the boost, you know, the horsepower goes through the roof. What have you done?
You know,
giving it to his race engineer.
It's my cars before that were mostly modified, but, you know, GM just loaned me this car, so... I haven't really touched it, but they did give me a CTSV for a weekend last year. So that was another 200 horsepower to play around with for a little while. I must say that was pretty fun.
You know, you could swap, you could do an ECM flash. They'd never know the difference. And just flash it back when you give it back to them. They never know. Kick the boost up a little bit. Michael Cooper, thank you so much for coming on Speed City. We look forward to seeing you this weekend, and the best of luck this weekend.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Michael. Look forward to seeing you.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little MotoGP. We're going to talk, and we're also going to have Brendan Leach. Jonathan did an interview with him. We're going to have some of that. And so you stick with us. Listen to Speed City, live from Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas, with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience.
With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable, and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself. Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Catch up on the latest headlines anytime at talk1370.com.
Hi, I'm Brendan Leach from Kiwi. Motorsport, number 86 car, and you're listening to Speed City.
You'll be right. IDM. IDM is our sponsor.
He's a Kiwi. He's not a Kiwi. He's an
He's
awesome.
A Kiwi. No, he's a Kiwi. Kiwi. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay.
Kiwi Racing, man. He's following in Scott Dixon's footsteps.
Well, he's doing pretty damn good so far, so we'll see how if he keeps that up.
Really good kid. We'll hear from him in a moment because I know you want to do MotoGP first.
Yes, I do. That was pretty awesome racing today. And man, does that Ducati look incredible.
Well, yeah, and there's a really interesting story. I mean, if Formula One is getting interesting, so too is MotoGP, and it is opening up. It's got a long way to go too. But Ducati are definitely back. I mean, you know, a couple of wins. I think one of the best comments I heard was Matthew Burt saying, you know, the proof of the pudding is Dovi has won in different conditions on this bike now and different circuits. It's not like, you know, for the last few years, we said, oh, yeah, but Ducati in a straight line, oh, you know, it's got so much grunt. Yeah, it has. But now it's also winning, you know, at places that take more than just pure grunt. All right, again, down, you know, Silverstone's got a lot of long straights, but it's also a lot of twisty bits, too. So what I'm getting at is, you know, Dovi, no question about it, has muscled this thing into a championship contender. And he is. He's not just a contender. He's leading the championship. And a very rare mistake or a rare problem for Honda today, mechanically, with Marquez losing the championship lead. We could look back at the British Grand Prix, the Battle of Britain, as we like to call it, and say that this was a turning point, and wouldn't it be sensational if they could keep this lead going and
Ducati
win the championship?
It would be amazing. But you're right about Honda. That's a rare thing to see a Honda blow an engine or whatever. I mean, it was a lot of smoke coming out of that, and apparently fluids too. But the other thing is,
it also interests me that you see, it's almost like we forgot them. Lorenzo is becoming the forgotten man in all of this because he's got the same equipment and he's a two-time world champion. And we said right from the get-go, was this the right decision? I think it still is. Now the bike is good enough and Lorenzo's got to get to grips with it because Dovi's found the way.
It just shows you how good is Dovi. You know,
A lot of people have argued for many years that because when he bounced onto the scene, everybody said that this was the next Rossi. They're from a very similar part of Italy, just outside Misano. And so everybody said that, hey, here he comes. Because Simoncelli, who we lost, obviously, is from that part of the world. It's Italy, the Adriatic coast, but right near Misano where we race. He's from Forlì. Rossi's from Tavuglia and Simoncelli was from Misano, from Cattolica. I should know it well. I was in hospital there.
I got to ask you. Oh, that's right. I got to ask you something about Ducati. You know, I love MotoGP, but I do not claim to be an expert in any stretch. But a couple of years ago, they had the classes and Ducati had some advantages over the other manufacturers. Do they still have that now?
As in?
I don't remember, but there were some classes where it was pure manufacturers, Honda, Yamaha, Suzuki had these rules, but then because they were so small.
I see what you're saying. No. It's absolutely, everybody is exactly on the same rules now. Yeah.
I thought that, but I was going, man, they're so strong I'm glad they haven't. I'm glad they don't, because this makes it even more satisfying.
What's interesting about Ducati is that it's compared both by the Italians and by the world to Ferrari, because it's red.
Sure.
It's Italian, an iconic Italian piece of machinery, and it's
gorgeous.
Oozes sex. It really is a sexy beast. But Bologna, where they make Ducati, the factory, you know, the output, if you like, compared to Ferrari, is much, much smaller. And although they have a big range of different bikes, and now they've gone to like the Diavel and the Scrambler, and they're sort of diversifying a little bit, Ducati is still, compared to Honda and Yamaha, absolutely punching above its weight in terms of the size. And that's what makes the story so good. And that's why... Remember this. This is great that Casey Stoner has done what he's done, and it's great that Troy Bayliss has done what he's done for the World Superbikes, and Carl Fogarty before him for Ducati. But this is an Italian.
Yeah.
This is an Italian on the Italian bike. So, wow. Imagine what this was like. I mean, imagine no Vettel and it was an Italian guy. Imagine if Vettel was actually Italian. I know he speaks perfect Italian, but you get my point, right?
Yeah.
So to have Dovi doing what he's doing is a dream come true. And I'm thinking of Julian Thomas and a few of my other good mates at Ducati, who Dottardozzi, Ciabatti. This is a really, really special time for them. And, you know, big respect to Lorenzo. He's taken the jump there too. And like I said, there's a lot of parallels. Raikkonen and Vettel, Dovi and... Lorenzo. So it's. I'm really happy for Ducati. I think it makes the championship, because Marquez isn't going to go away, and that mistake or problem today is very, very rare. Crutchlow had a good day. Valentino on his 300. How good is that kid? And I say that kid because at 38, he still acts like one, and I love every minute of it.
Yeah, it's... I mean, every race that he adds is just an astounding chapter to the story that is Valentino Rossi.
It's more and more, you know, I spent some time with him, and I have to say, I don't go googly about too many sportsmen. I've been very fortunate in my life to meet, you know, the likes of George Foreman and some of the great athletes of soccer and rugby and many sports. But Valentino Rossi is one of the most special sportsmen I think I've ever had the pleasure to spend any time with, and I've ridden on a track with him. So, it really does. That's like playing basketball with Jordan. I mean, it's not something you're going to forget quickly.
I know, because I know you spent time with him at the boot camp.
At the boot camp with Colin Edwards.
I know, and you've known him for...
Professionally, I've interviewed him along the way. I've known him since he was a kid of 16, which actually makes my kind of following of him even more impressive, because I knew him when he was no one.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And we've got a clip of Valentino Rossi. I don't know if the producer has it ready for us, but it's just from today where he's talking about, because he led so much of the race.
I know. I thought he had it.
Yeah. I actually saw it on DVR, and I hit Twitter, and I knew he didn't win. But he almost won that thing, and it was pretty exciting to watch it. But we'll play that clip when we get to it. We got it. Let's hear Valentino Rossi.
I'm satisfied because it was a great race for me. I was able to ride very well from the beginning after a great start, stay always in front, and I ride at the limit without make mistakes. So I enjoy a lot for 70 laps. I think it's a good way to celebrate the 300 race in MotoGP, no?
That's pretty good. I emailed that to the producer about 30 seconds before it went on.
Very impressive.
He's very impressive.
He's faster than Valentino Rossi. See, I like him very much.
Hey, I want to jump to IndyCar. We just got a couple minutes left, and we've got to get that Brendan Leach clip in.
Yes.
But how about Joseph Newgarden?
He's the real deal. I'm so happy. And it was actually, I always follow commentary very carefully. And I thought it was a great line as he crossed the line last night for his fourth win and now leads the championship by not a great deal because it's double points at Sonoma.
Right.
They said, we have a new American star of American racing. And it's great. Because the Indy's not had that, remember. It's been dominated by the likes of Will Power, Elio Castroneves, Scott Dixon. These are all foreigners. They're not Americans. This is a young 20s American, good-looking boy, come all the way through. Love it.
Yeah, with he and Alexander Rossi, there's that's some pretty exciting Americans in IndyCar right now.
Yeah, it's really good. And there's more. There's not just him. There's Sage Karam. There's, you know, there's plenty more where they came from. Spencer Pigot. Yeah. Connor Daly getting his best result ever. So, you know, for AJ Foyt. So it's, you know, it's coming up nicely, Indy. It's bubbling nicely. It's a good mixture.
All right, well, let's play this clip. Jonathan, introduce this clip we got with Brendan Leach.
Okay, well, Brendan's coming to the Circuit of the Americas on the 14th to the 16th of September. He'll be racing in F4. I know him and his family. His brother races as well because he has been racing in the Toyota Racing Series. So, yeah, Brendan's coming. He's racing in F4, and I wish him luck. He's already started winning. Here's what he had to say about coming to America.
Yeah, I love it over here. It's an amazing culture, and the weather's great as well. It's a wee bit cold back in New Zealand, so it's good to get a bit of sunshine and generally some dry racing as well.
Tell us about the series, because you, in many ways, have driven in a higher performing car in the Toyota Racing Series. So I wouldn't say you're stepping back, but you're stepping to a car that is probably closer to F4 to a Formula Ford.
Yeah, you did right. It's you know, where the car has quite a lot less downforce and power as well. So it's I've really had to change my driving style and sort of relearn techniques from Formula Ford days, and it's great. You know, I've learned a lot of new techniques which I can use to progress on that through the categories, I've learned a heck of a lot so far this season, and I'm just trying to absorb as much knowledge over here as I can. I'm working around some amazing people, so just trying to make the most of all the opportunities that are arising at the moment.
Yeah, and interesting. I'm based in Dallas, so we're claiming, if he wins, we're claiming him for our own.
He's
for
a Texan.
Sure. He's an absolute Texan.
All right, well, we got to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to Speed City tonight. Of course, this coming weekend at Circuit of the Americas, the Pirelli World Challenge. Get out there. Watch
we'll
some
be
sports
there.
Cars, man. We'll be there. Listen for us on the loudspeakers. Maybe not.
we'll be there.
And check us out on our website, speedcitybroadcast.com. And of course, on iTunes, we have all of our podcasts up on iTunes. So check us out. We will talk to you next week.
Stay dry, y'all.
Take talk with you anywhere with the all-new Talk 1370 app. Listen to your favorite shows, keep up with the latest breaking news, and more. Search for Talk 1370 in the App Store or find the links at talk1370.com.
It's anywhere I need.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.